All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this time that you've given us to study your word, Lord. And God, I just pray you would speak to us mightily about it, Lord, and what you would want us to learn. Father, as we reference chapter 13 of Patrick's teaching and the teaching that you gave me out of your word for this referencing to that chapter. And so I pray for your anointing on it. Pray that you would speak to us mightily, Lord, as we lift it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I titled this, The Call of God, and I'm taking my text out of Genesis 12, verses 1 to 4. Now, many of you that read through the Bible, you know what this text is. It's a promise that God made to his people. George Bernard Shaw said, if the other planets are inhabited, then they must be using the earth for their insane asylum. The fact is, this world is messed up. And you know what? It is not getting any better. So what's wrong? Well, it all goes back to the events recorded in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Except for the account in chapters 1 and 2, the first 11 chapters are recorded one failure after another. Failures that are being repeated today. In chapter 3, the first man and woman disobeyed God and were cast out of the garden. In chapter 4, their son Cain murdered his brother, their other son Abel, and then lied about it to God. In chapter 6 through 8, humanity became so corrupt, God had to wipe them out with a flood. In chapter 9, Noah got drunk and was exposed to one of his son Ham. In chapter 10, in their defiance of God, men built a city and a tower. They wanted to reach God and be gods themselves. So God sent a strong confusion to end their rebellion. And you've probably heard the Tower of Babel. He changed all their language. That's where we got all the languages of the world to this day. They couldn't talk with one another, so they couldn't unite and do something like that. Well, disobedience, murder, deception, drunkenness, nudity, rebellion. Does that sound familiar? I want to look at four elements involved in Abraham and Sarah's experience. Abraham is the first Jew. So we have the first element, the call, in verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. Salvation comes because God calls in his grace, and we respond by faith. Well, Abraham didn't know the true God. Abraham had done nothing to deserve knowing God. But God graciously called him. John 15, 16. Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. That tells me age is not an obstacle to faith. It's not an obstacle to faith. Genesis 25, verse 7 says, Abraham trusted God for 100 years. What a testimony. Abraham was married to Sarah, who also happened to be his half-sister. They did that in the Old Testament. They were able to do it, but now that sin has gotten so bad through the generations, you wouldn't be able to even, well, first of all, it's weird and it's gross, but you'd never be able to do that today. Your kids would be deformed. I mean, all kinds of stuff would happen. But we read in Genesis 20, verse 12, they were childless. Well, in spite of that, God used them to found a great nation. You see, man originally knew the true God, but he wouldn't glorify God or give thanks to God for God's gracious provision. Man substituted idols for the true and living God. Well, idolatry led to immorality, and it led to indecency. Before long, The Gentile world was so corrupt, God had to give it up. Then God called Abraham, the first Jew, and made a new beginning. This was the beginning of the Jewish race. How God appeared to Abraham, we're not told, but it was the first of seven times that God communicated with Abraham that we have recorded in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. God spoke to Abraham, and the word brought about the miracle of faith. You gotta love it. Paul wrote the same thing in Romans 10:17. It was a call to separate himself from the corruption around him. Hebrews 11:8 says that Abraham obeyed by faith. He obeyed by faith. True faith is always, always, always based on God's word. And it will always lead to obedience. There are at least three reasons why God called Abraham and Sarah. First, in his love, God was concerned about their salvation. So God revealed his glory and shared his gracious promises. Secondly, God's son, Christ, died for the sins of the world. And he commands his church to tell the good news to the entire world. Thirdly, the life of Abraham is an example for every one of us as believers who want to walk by faith. The second element, the covenant, verses 2 and 3. God said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You see, faith isn't based on feeling, even though it can be emotional at times. True faith is based on God's word, on the Bible. God spoke to Abraham and told him what he would do for him and through him if he would only trust and obey God. Trust and obey God. Let me say something pretty profound right here. How you respond to God's promises determines what God will do in your life. Let me say that again. It's worth repeating. How you respond to God's promises determines what God will do in your life. The Hebrew word translated covenant has several meanings. First, it means to eat with, which speaks of fellowship and agreement. Secondly, it means to bind, which means commitment. And third, it means to allot, which speaks of sharing. When God makes a covenant, he enters into an agreement to commit himself to give what he promises. It's purely an act of grace. That's why I'm always encouraging people, read your word. You want to know what God's promises are? Read through the Bible. You'll get them. God didn't give Abraham reasons or explanations. God gave him promises. God promised to show him a land. God promised to make him into a great nation, the nation of Israel as we know it today. God promised to use that nation to bless the whole world. Well, we know when God sent his son, Jesus, to come and die, he came as Israel's Messiah. And the Jewish people were not being a blessing to the world. They were taking advantage of the Gentiles. So what did God do? When they rejected his son as their Messiah, God had Titus lead the Roman army into Jerusalem, burn the city and the temple and destroy it. And the people, in God's judgment, were scattered for 2,000 years. Well, we know they came back into the land May 14, 1948. Why did they come back into the land? Because God is getting ready to deal with them again as his chosen people in a period called the Great Tribulation Period, a 7-year time period of God's judgment and wrath. Well, for the last 2,000 years, instead of the Jews being a blessing to the whole world, Jesus raised up born-again believers of Jew and Gentile to proclaim his gospel because the Jews failed. And that's where we are today. The third element is the compromise. Chapter 11, verse 27, 32, and verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham didn't fully obey God. Instead of leaving his family and going by himself with his wife as God commanded him, what's Abraham do? He takes his father, he takes his nephew, Lot, and then he stays at Haran until his father dies. He didn't go straight to the land that God had given to them. There's a principle here that I see. Whatever you bring with you from your old life into this new life of being born again, it will create problems. Whatever you bring with you from the old life into the new will create problems. Think about it. Terah, Abraham's father, he kept Abraham from fully obeying the Lord. Lot, Abraham's nephew. Lot created serious problems for Abraham until they finally had to separate from each other. What about Abraham and Sarah? They brought a sinful agreement with them from Ur, and it got them in trouble twice. Genesis 12, verses 10 to 20, and Genesis 20, verses 1 to 18. What was the sinful agreement? Well, apparently Sarah was a 10. She was pretty hot looking. Abraham said, you know what? When we travel and we go through these cities, they're going to see you, and they're going to want you, and they're going to kill me. So what I want you to do is tell them I'm your brother. Well, Sarah and Abraham's mothers were different, but their fathers were the same. And so they brought that sinful agreement with them, and it almost got Abraham killed a couple times. You see, God tests us in order to build our faith and bring out the best in us. The devil tempts us in order to destroy our faith and bring out the worst in us. So when we walk by faith, we lean on God. How do we lean on God? We lean on his word. We lean on his character, who he is. We lean on his will. I want his will done in my life. When I do my will, I get in trouble. And fourthly, we lean on God's power. You see, you don't isolate yourself from your family and friends, but you no longer consider them your first love or your first obligation. Luke 14, verse 26, 27 tells us that. Fourth and last commitment is element is a commitment. The 17th century preacher Thomas Fuller said, all mankind is divided into three classes. You have the intenders, you have the endeavorers, and you have the performers. Well, Terah, Abraham and Sarah's father, may have been an intender, but he never made it into the promised land. Lot was an endeavorer up to a point, but he failed miserably because he couldn't walk by faith. Abraham and Sarah, they were performers. They trusted God to perform what God had promised. Romans 4, verses 18 to 21. So I'm going to throw this in as a bonus. In verses 4 to 9, we see three things about faith. First, faith brings us out. It may have been his son's love for his father that made Abraham delay, but the day finally came when he and Sarah had to leave Haran, and go to the land God had chosen for them. Secondly, faith brings us in. Centuries later, God would give that land to Abraham's descendants. But when Abraham and Sarah arrived, they were strangers and pilgrims in the midst of a pagan society. Third, faith brings us on. It brings us out, it brings us in, it brings us on. God kept Abraham moving. Now, why would God keep Abraham moving? You ready for this? So he would meet new challenges and be forced to trust God for new grace to help in time of need. Abraham was saved by faith, but his faith was made evident by his obedience, by what he did. Abraham is smack dab in the middle where God wanted him to be, doing what God had told him to do. In conclusion, even in the place of obedience, we are still going to face tests and trials. But that's how faith grows. That's how faith grows. And the Lord is there with us to see us through whatever it is we're dealing with. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this teaching. I'm sure it has encouraged many as it encouraged me, Lord. And I pray for your blessings on it as people tune in to the website and listen to this teaching and be encouraged. God has this. He's called us. He's going to see us through. Go before us now, Lord. Bless the rest of this week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.